Okay. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to Osage this morning. I'm glad to see each of you here this morning, and we're excited about the time we're going to spend together and worship and hearing Roger bring the word to us this morning. So let's stand together and begin our time together. Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, faith from all the storm that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. I'm comforting the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptations hide me, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages. But not from Satan's wages, I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock. From all the storm that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages, I'm standing on the solid rock.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A few announcements here. 5 p.m. today, there will be choir practice. And then tonight for evening service, we'll have our business meeting and a special executive board meeting at 6:30 at the temporary associational office in Harrison on February the 16th.
Do what?
Okay. Save the date. Children's camp is June 11th through the 14th, and that will be here at the church again this summer as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to encourage you choir members to set your VCRs if you're worried about missing the game, because there's so many commercials, you know, you can zip through those once you get home and just see the game. And if there's a favorite commercial, you can see that later too. But we'd love to have y'all join us tonight for choir. Thank you.
All right. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you so much for everything you've given us, Lord. God, I pray for Brother Lanny. Just thank you for getting his stuff figured out. God, I pray you just keep healing him. God, I pray for Roger as he's about to come and speak with us this morning. God, I pray you just be with him. God, I say thank you for everything you give us and all the blessings we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did I say, are you awake now? Did I say VCR just then? I wonder what you're laughing at. Okay, that's not funny. Let's stand together.
Oh, yeah, it is.
My victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me.
There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is the cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you. It's all about. Close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy. be near, near to your heart, loving the world, hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great run and flee at the mention of the name King of Majesty. There is no power in him, nor any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am, the great I am, the great I am. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for being at Osage Baptist Church this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, and we'd have a record of your visit. Our young men are going to come at this time to receive the morning offering. Tonight, we'll be having a business meeting, and to a host of decisions. We've decided to have soup. So you make your favorite soup and bring that. Do you know what a pone of cornbread is? Anybody know what a pone of cornbread is? Got a lot of young people here today. I know what a pone of cornbread is. That's a pone of cornbread. Anyway, we'd like for you to make that. Let me tell you about the Super Bowl. I talked to Roger last Sunday night, and I said, do you think that there'd be a way we could put it on the TV out here in the gym? We'd have a business meeting, and folks could stay if they wanted to watch the football game. They could stay. He said, yeah, we could probably do that. He said, we talked about it a little bit, about would folks want to do that when they come. And he said, I'll tell you, he said, since them guys would not stand for the pledge or give honor to the flag, he said, I've quit watching them. I said, that's good enough for me. Is it good enough for you? That's good enough for me. So we're not going to do that. And so you come, bring your favorite soup and a pone of cornbread and a chocolate pie and a lemon pie and a cherry cheesecake and what? What was that other? Strawberry shortcake. Anyway, you bring all those things that go with that. We'll have a wonderful time. We've got something tonight we want to present to the church, the deacons do. And so I hope that you'll be a part of that. Somebody's gun go off? Got a concealed carry? Anyway, you don't... Who's going to pray? Brother Russell, come. Thank you all for being here.
Let us bless this time offering. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give back this portion that you've given us. And Lord, just break our hearts and help us to be a loving giver for your work. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to give back. Lord, we pray that you bless it, bless the giver and receiver. In Jesus' name, amen.
you're in them right now and you're dismissed. Ask Brother Roger to come this morning and bring the message. You pray for him as he breaks the bread of life to us this morning. What about now? There we go. I got tangled up in that thing back there a while ago. About jerked my hearing aid off. Good morning, church. Brother Lenny, he came to me last weekend or so and asked me about, covering them. We talked about like the first week of March or whatever. And he sends me that message Monday. Said, that thing we talked about you that Sunday, he said, that we put on the back burner. He said, can we move that to the front burner? I said, all right. I said, what's going on? He said, well, they said I'm having a heart attack. I don't know. And so, all right, that sounds pretty serious. So we'll move that up. So that's kind of where I'm at, and this is something that's been on my mind for quite some time, and then this morning, Satan's been dealing with me. Don't share that. Don't talk about that. But I feel like somebody needs to hear this. That best be God. But if I could give this message a title today, it'd probably be somebody who would die for you. And I'll explain that. Just going to read one verse today. It's going to be in the book of John, chapter 15. Be down at verse 13. If you would stand with me, it would just be one verse. And this is Jesus talking with his disciples. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You may be seated. This verse has been taken out of context many times and been explained and been used in different ways. I really got to thinking about this verse in different ways. And, you take a look at dying for your friends. Do you know someone that would die for you? Or, do you know someone you would die for? Just a couple questions that kind of get you thinking, and you're going, oh, yeah, I know, I'd die for my kids, and stuff. But, I want to give you a couple examples. If all my veterans would stand up, please. All my veterans. Folks out there, somebody that would die for you. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. Parents, grandparents, if you would stand. Young people, look around. There's people that will die for you right there. All right. You may be seated. Most of y'all know what I do. I became a police officer about 9 years ago. I was about a year in, and I got voluntold that I was going to be moving to the high school. And I'm not going to lie, when they first told me, I was like, man, that ain't what I signed up for. Babysit a bunch of kids.
know, and I just like, I don't want to, you know, but I didn't argue with him. I just did it. You know, and now I'm at the point where I realize what a blessing it is that I get to work with a lot of godly people, the secretaries. We have conversations all the time about church and God, and, you know, and it's a blessing that I get to continue to spend time with teenagers and lead them and guide them, you know, and make a difference in their lives. And it's just, it's been a blessing. But, you know, something that, you know, I take very seriously, you know, and I have young people ask me all the time is, what do you do? You know, because I guess all they see me doing is walking the halls. And, you know, they ask what I do, you know, and I say, well, you know, my priority job here is your safety, is to keep you safe, where you can come to school and feel safe. And so I do a lot of studying, you know, and I know a lot of people think this may be weird, but I do a lot of studying on school shootings and how to prevent them, you know, the history of school shootings and all these, you know, all the signs of a child, of what's going on in their mind that comes up to that. And, you know, it's something that I take very serious. If I give you the date of April 20th, 1999, who would know what that is? April 20th, 1999, the school shooting at Columbine. That changed the way people looked at school shootings forever. It changed the way that we train. If y'all remember at Columbine, it was an hour or two before the police ever went into the building. All right, they stood outside, and I mean, they shot from out there a few times, but they never went in, because at that time it was something that's how they were trained, to surround the building, you know, wait for SWAT and everything to get there. But now everything is completely different. Now we train that if there is a shooting going on in a school, when I say we, you know, that is my job at my high school, that I am to go directly to the threat, not wait, not hesitate, and eliminate the threat. That's my job. You know, and it's completely changed the way everybody looks at things and how you react and do things. You know, at Columbine, there was two young men who went to that school. They were both seniors. Eric Harris and Dylan Claybold was their names. And that day, when they entered that school, they killed 12 students, one teacher, and wounded 21 others. You know, a lot of people blamed it on the music they were listening to. A lot of them blamed it, you know, on the video games that they were playing at that time. And there was lots of different reasons. You know, after the fact, they seen all the signs that was leading up to it, that they had videos of them out shooting their guns and practicing. The stories they wrote in school of the violence, and, you know, just the music they listened to, you know, and truth be known, they intended on killing many more people than what they did. They entered the cafeteria and placed two 20-pound propane tanks in bags in the cafeteria and had them programmed to go off at a certain time when their lunchroom would have approximately 500 kids in it. And that was their goal. And when they didn't go off, then that's when they started entering the school and started shooting. You know, a lot of people after that heard of the name Cassie Bernal, which it was a young lady that was killed there at Columbine. And after it was over, many books were written. Lots of songs were written. And a lot of sermons were done on her, because she was known as the young lady that said yes when asked. if she believed in God. And they said she was killed for it. You know, I had the opportunity to visit with her mom about 4 years ago at a conference. And since that Columbine shooting, investigators have determined that that's not what happened. And, you know, so I visited with her mom and was just asking her about Cassie's life, what she was like. And she grew up in a Christian home. And at about the age of 13, you know, that young teenage age where they get to know everything and they're smarter than their parents, you know, and all that stuff. They got to that age, and she started hanging with a different crowd. She started hanging with different friends. She got into drugs. She got into alcohol. She got into rock music. And, you know, the parents was losing their daughter. They found notes about suicide and all these things. You know, and you ask, how does that happen? I raised them in church. How does that happen? Well, let me give you an example on that. Many of y'all know this time of year, especially if you live out in the country, this time of year is when the coyotes, it's their mating season. You hear them out yelling and hollering. And, you know, I used to raise a lot of beagle puppies and had little beagle dogs. And this time of year, we'd have to be really careful because the coyote, they would send a female. She'd come up pretty close to the house, come up to the next to my pen, and just start yapping at them, start playing, trying to lure, you know, become friends with them. And then they'd start luring them off. You know, come on. And until they got the little puppy out there, and then they'd snatch him up, and they'd take him and devour him. Folks, listen to me. There's people every day in your life like that. Come on. They're coming. You know, just once they get you out of here, then they devour you. And we see it every day. I see it with kids every day. That, you know, and I tell the kids at school, I've told the youth here, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. All right, you parents know who your friends are hanging out with, your kids are hanging out with. You know, I told you these kids, you know, had done so many videos and stuff. You know, things I have found that these kids, they will share everything on social media. Parents, you need to know what your kids are looking at. You need to know who they're talking to. You need to know what they're watching. You need to know those things. It's very important. Now, I'm a creeper. I ain't gonna lie. You know, I become friends with some of the kids at school on Facebook or whatever. And then I go to their page and I creep their friends to see what they're doing. And, you know, and it's surprising. You know, I'm searching for them red flags and them warnings. But that young lady, they come to find out that, you know, she got away from God when she was young teenager. Parents finally moved her to a different school, Columbine. She'd been there about a year whenever a classmate invited her to go to church camp. So she went to church camp. Jesus was there. And she found him. And parents said that she went all in. She, you know, rededicated her life to Jesus, and she was all in. And I asked Mom, I said, even though it didn't happen like what they thought, and what had happened was one of her fellow youth classmates had heard the gunman ask the question, do you believe in God? And he thought it was Cassie, and it turned out not to be. It turned out to be another young lady. But Mom told me this. She said, you know where Cassie was at in her life at that time? She says, I really believe she would have said yes. I really do. And so the other young lady that was in the library that day when them two boys entered, her name was Valene Schooner. She was 18 years old. She was in there studying with a couple of her friends whenever the shooting started. Teacher told them to get under the desk, so she was under the desk with two other students when the guys came in. And the Harris subject came over to their desk, looked under the desk, and yelled, "Peekaboo," and started shooting. And he killed her two friends instantly. When his shotgun had emptied, he pulled out a 9mm and started shooting her. She fell out from underneath the desk, and with 9 bullet holes in her, she's laying there, and she starts crying, oh, my God, don't let me die. Help me." And they said that the Harris subject stood over her, reloading his gun. The other subject yelling, just shoot her. And he looked her in the eye and said, "Do you believe in God?" And she looked at him and said, "Yes." And then he asked the question. He said, "Why?" Without hesitation, they said, "Because that is what I believe. And that's the way my parents raised me." You know, I couldn't help but thinking, would I have that faith? Could you say yes? And that point right there, be tough. I mean, you know, she went on to, she survived. She went on to, you know, because when she said, "Yes, that is the way my parents raised me," the gunman turned and walked away and went on. 15 minutes later, they went to another room and they committed suicide on themselves. But she then crawled out and lived, went through surgery and lived. And, you know, it wasn't until then that she told her parents what had happened. And even though the entire world was hearing the Cassie story, it was really Valene's story. But this young lady was very humble. She told her parents, she said, don't tell anybody, don't say anything. I don't want to be a hero. Her parents have suffered enough. And, you know, she got called a copycat when it finally got out and all these things. And, you know, and people asked her, said, you know, why don't you want books written? Why don't you want, she said, all I want to do is to live my life and serve my God after that. And she went on that year, May 23rd, 1999, and graduated high school and walked down the aisle and got her diploma. Because she was very humble. You know, and it tells us in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 tells us, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting out all your care upon him, for he cares for you." You read in Luke 14:11, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You know, and this young lady, she wasn't looking to be humble, you know, but her courage was unbelievable. You know, the secretaries I was talking about, you know, I was sharing with them a little bit about this, and I asked them, I said, "Did you do it? If you was asked, if you believed in God with a gun being pointed at you?" And she told me, she goes, "You know," she said, What else could you say? But yes, that's all I believe. I said, Donna. Then she thought a minute, and she said, you know, but she said, what would scare me would be if they were pointing it at my family, at my kids, at my grandkids, then could you say yes? You know, and I said, I looked at her, and I, you know, we both at the, pretty much at the same time said, God did. God gave his son. You know, and that's what I want to look at is, you know, we'll go back to this verse and look at it. And we'll break it down in kind of two sections. Greater love has no one than this. You know, love is a word that gets used generically here now. You know, you see it all the time. You know, I see it with the young people. You know, love you. Love you. You know, and I'm like, okay. You know, you see it all the time. Love is used for, you know, I love steak, you know. I love you, you know, I love basketball. You see the word used generically quite often now. You know, and I know you've heard, I know Brother Lanny's preached on this numerous times about, you know, the love is broke down in four different words. You know, storge, you know, a love of a parent for a child. Philia, a love for friends. You know, eros is a romantic love, the love that you have for your spouse. And then we know about agape love, unconditional God love. And here, that is what Jesus is trying to talk to his disciples about, is God's love and agape love. You know, that's the kind of love you see in John 3:16. And you know, the love the world displays now is conditional love. You have to earn it. Let's be frank, if you screw it up, it gets taken away. You know, they don't love, you know, you mess it up, then fine, I'll just take it back. Jesus is telling us about the kind of love he has for us and the kind of love that we are to have for others. You know, for me, I'm sure it's this way for everybody. You know, there's some people out there that it's very hard to love unconditionally every day. You know, they just, how you put it, rub you the wrong way, a little coarse. You know, but there God is trying to tell his disciples to love every one of them unconditionally. You know, it goes on to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is the answer I asked, you know, to the question I asked earlier. Do you know someone who would lay down their life for you? And Jesus did. He gave up his life so we could find it. And not only is he talking about him dying for us, but teaching his disciples to give up their desires for others as well and for others' sakes. You know, I don't know if you've noticed it, but we live in a selfish world. We live with a lot of selfish people. That it's all about I. And, you know, and here is what Jesus is trying to teach them is, you know, give your desires up to love others, to help others, and to guide others. And, you know, and also understand that that doesn't mean just for your friends. That's for everybody. So let's look at, I'm going to read real quick just the, you know, we read verse 13. I want to read the end of that, verse 14 through 17. And it says, you are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father have made known to you. That's through his word. You did not choose me, but I chose you you appointed and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give them to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." The disciples, they didn't understand this at first. They didn't understand what was going on until after the death, burial, and resurrection. And then it made perfect sense. Jesus, he's our model for love and how we should love each other. Even when he was talking to the disciples, you take a look at Peter. He offered to lay down his life for Jesus, but he was not ready to die. It's one that, I just keep thinking about that young lady at that point. What would I say? But I'm going to tell you what I believe, church, is we're coming to a time we are going to have to make a decision. That you're going to have to, it may not be a gun to your head at the point, but you're going to have to stand up for what you believe. You're going to have to make a choice if you're going to follow God or you're going to deny him. It's coming. And I pray that, I keep getting more excited every night that we do the Revelation study, that happens before it gets that bad. But I'm afraid we're going to go through some of it, that the world is turning, and we are going to have to stand up and say, yes, we're going to church. I mean, you've seen just a few years ago, they tested that out, in my opinion, trying to keep us from church, trying to keep us from heaven, trying to keep us from meeting, to see how that would work, and it did. There's a lot of faces that ain't here anymore, because then coyotes got a hold of some of them and got them out of our safety, got them out of our building. And, we have got to stick together, and we've got to stand strong. We've got to love each other, encourage each other, and be willing, to give your life for Christ. Be willing to stand up for it. I had a young lady just ask me the other day again, what do I do? And I was kind of telling her. So she said, "Look, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." She said, "Is what I'm hearing?" She said, "That you're saying that you would die to protect me?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm saying." And she said, "But you don't know me." I said, "I know." But there's so many of those kids in there that they become like my kids. I get to know them. They share. Some of them share way too much. But that's just, I tell them that, and it opens a door for me to get to share with them then, because I got to share with her. I said, "I'm not scared to die. I said, I know where I'm going." "You're going to be dead." I said, "Yes, but I know where I'm going." So I got to explain to her about eternity. And, it's something that, it was a door that was opened. I said, "Do you know?" She said, "Yes, I do." So she explained to me, when she had gotten saved and everything. So, it's just something that I said, and don't get me wrong, I said, "I'm not ready to die." I said, "I still want to spend more time with my wife and my kids, and quite frankly, I don't think God's done yet with me." So, there's something that I'm prepared for. I said, I don't, go just looking for it, but I'm prepared for that. And that is something, church, I want to ask you if that's where you're at. Do you know? Can you say yes? Is your belief strong enough? Do you know where you're at with Christ? know, it's, you know, I'm not going to ask for you to raise your hands and go, well, if he pointed it at me, I'd say, yeah, that's not what I, you know, between you and God right now, but, you know, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And, you know, it's something that, you know, when I say friends, I mean, look across the aisle. Would you die for that person sitting across the aisle from you? You know, would you, the one sitting in front of you, behind you? Something that Christ called us to love everyone unconditionally. I struggle with it. I do. I think we all do. But it is, you know, reading His Word and following His example, and you know, we can get there. You know, we pray for what we need. Right? Now, I shared in a Sunday school class this morning. I was listening to a pastor this week, and he was talking about praying. And he said, too many times we pray for what we need. Would you disagree? We pray for what we need. But he says, what we need to start doing is pray that God will give us what He knows we need. As you see, He's the only one that's seen tomorrow and knows what we need. So He can have it there when we get there. So that's what we need to start praying, that God will give us what He knows we need. Sometimes it's not what we really want sometimes, but it's what we need. So, Brother Matt, I'm going to ask you if you'd come, and the couples that have been chosen to come up here and help, you know, and I just want to open this altar up to you today and, you know, just come and pray. You know, if it's for you to, you know, to surrender all to Christ, to go all out. You may want to pray for a family member. You may want to come pray for our pastor. He's had a rough week. Here he is. Still with us. You know, so, and if you need to just come and speak to me, to one of these couples, that, you know, we're here to talk to you. We're here to be your friends. We love on you. You know, that was the main reason I chose this church some 20-something years ago. You know, we came in, Trey was 2, not even that old, you know, and I remember coming because Brother Lanny's daughter had actually invited us to come. That's all it takes is just to invite somebody. And he got up here with his guitar and started singing with them kids. I said, that's where I'm taking my kids. Right there. So, here we are. And so just, you know, go out and invite people. Invite your friends. Love them unconditionally. I mean, if you look around here, if everyone just brought one person, how full would this place be? Just one. If you brought one person to Christ, one person a year, how full would this place be? They chose Osage Baptist Church. Every one of us knows one person. Every one of us. It's something that we gotta love each other. We don't know how much time we got. For that.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? their trouble anywhere. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace
out. Father, we thank you for the word that has been presented this morning. May we have heard you speak to us this morning, Father. We feel your spirit. Father, for those decisions that should have been made this morning, we just pray for another opportunity that they might come to know you and follow you in a relationship. That we might have a testimony that others might see. Father, we just ask that you be with our church. Keep us safe as we go our way. Bring us back this evening as the doors open, that we might come with an attitude of worship. These things I pray and give them. Amen.